Welcome, everyone, to the Faith Unscripted Show, hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich. The studio line is 845-429-1700. Feel free to call in at any point during the Faith Unscripted program with any questions you may have for Pastor Rich. And as an added bonus, the first new caller on today's show will receive a $25 Visa gift card and an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book, A Journey of Repentance, Renewal, and Return. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich.
Good morning, and thanks for being with us again. Excuse me. And before we get going on some of the other religious topics, I want to just mention a loss that we experienced at the Clarkstown Reformed Church and in Rockland County, a real treasure. Last week, Mr. Arthur Erickson, who was a member of our church literally for almost 100 years, passed away. He was born and raised in West Nyack. He grew up in the community he was born in. And he was a treasure. He was a local and a national treasure. Artie was a kind and good man, but he was also an American patriot. When war was looming in the entire world back in the 40s, Artie joined the United States Navy in 1942. He went to basic training and was ultimately assigned to the USS California, a battleship, where he saw action in the Pacific theater. The California was damaged during the Pearl Harbor attack, but brought back into service. And while Artie was with it, it saw action during the invasion of Lingyen Gulf. And he was also in the battle of, Mariana and Palau Islands campaign. He was in the Mariana and Palau Islands campaign. So Artie's a real American patriot. He came back from the war. He went to college, became a civil engineer, worked his entire work life at Letterly, and then lived a happy life, a life surrounded by friends and family. And he became a beloved member of our community. He was always a beloved member of our church. And so we mourn Artie and give thanks for the wonderful life that he lived. Looking back at him, we can say that we owe our freedom to Artie and men like him, and women like him too, who put their lives on the line to defend America and to defend the world from totalitarianism and tyranny. And may we, in our own time, rise to the challenges that may be presented to us to do heroic things to preserve our freedom and our nation. So thank you, Art Erickson, and thank you to all folks like him who have sacrificed so that others might enjoy the fruits of liberty and freedom. And now I'd like to turn to the musical portion of our show.
Absolutely. You are listening to the Faith Unscripted program, hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich Hasselback. Please check us out on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Just search for Clarkstown Reformed Church or check us out on our website at crcwestnyack.org. And just a quick reminder for everyone, Clarkstown Reformed Church's grand reopening will take place on Sunday, May 9th on Mother's Day, and our address is 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack, New York. And to ask any questions during today's program, please give us a call, and our studio line is 845-429-1700, and our $25 gift card is still up for grabs for the first new caller, along with an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book. And if you would like to send us any questions to talk about on one of our future shows, please send a message to Pastor Rich directly at revrich@mac.com. That's revrich@mac.com. And now we will play Praise Him, sung by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Psalm C Singers with Susan Brown on organ. Enjoy.
Praise Him.
And we're back. So again, if you have any questions, please give us a call at 845-429-1700. And questions are always valued on our show. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to guest teach a section of the World Religions class at Montclair State University. We did it on a Zoom call. I've taught at colleges before, but I've never taught on a Zoom meeting, in a Zoom meeting. And it's a whole different experience, much more difficult, because you don't get that connection that I love with students. But some of the students asked amazing, penetrating, and great questions. So what made the class really work, for me at least, was the great questions that they asked. One of them asked a question that I'd like to share with you today, and then take a stab at an answer. He said, "How can you account for the fact that Christianity grew so exponentially in the first couple of hundred years after the death of Christ?" And it's a good question, because there is a phenomenal growth in the number of Christians. And the answer is a complex one, I think. A part of the complexity is that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, tells his disciples, take the message of salvation and hope to the ends of the earth. So from its very origins, Christianity isn't a religion that stays indoors. Christianity is a religion that says to its members, if you find hope and meaning in the message of our Christ, share that hope and meaning with others so that the world can have hope. And that's the energy that took disciples from Jerusalem and got them moving throughout the Roman Empire in the early years of Christianity. And it still impels Christians today to reach out to their neighbors and their friends and say, look, this faith of mine has transformed me, and perhaps it can transform you. And that message comes less with words than with action, but certainly the actions need to be connected to the faith that gives rise to them. One of the other aspects of the early spread of Christianity is that the Roman Empire was at peace in the years following the death of Christ. So commerce was going on. People were traveling unimpededly to different parts of the empire, and that allowed people like Paul the Apostle to go from Jerusalem to the entire Greco-Roman world. He traveled to Ephesus. He traveled to Corinth. He traveled to Rome itself. And in all of those travels, he established small Christian communities, communities of people, mostly Jews or folks who took a faith and hope in the Jewish message. And he said to them, well, here is the completion of the hope of Israel in Jesus. And small communities of people clung to that, and they themselves began to grow. Another aspect of this is because of the commerce in the Roman Empire, the roads were good, the sea travel was good for the time. And in Jerusalem itself, there was an exodus of Jews leaving the persecution of the Romans. So Christians, along with other Jews, and remember, in the early church, Christians considered themselves to be Messianic Jews, which is why, just as a side, no Christian should be anti-Semitic, ever. We should recognize ourselves to be a part of the great tradition of Judaism that embraces Jesus as our Messiah. So the Jewish Christians, the Christians of the early church, were leaving Jerusalem to escape persecution, and they were bringing their Christianity with them. But perhaps the most important reason that there was a growth of Christianity in the first couple of hundred years, now this is before the conversion of Constantine, is that in those couple of hundred years, there were two tremendous plagues, one each century, that hit the Roman Empire, and they were debilitating. So think of what we're going through now. Think of COVID. Think of pandemic. This was occurring in the Roman Empire. And during those challenges that swept across the empire, people began to notice that Christians were surviving better than anyone else because they cared for each other. Now, we know now that good nursing care, absent anything else, increases longevity. So what Christians were doing for each other was they were caring for each other. They weren't taking their sick relatives and putting them out on the street. They were caring for them. They were loving them. They were doing what Christ expects us to do with those who are sick and broken. And their pagan neighbors saw that. They also saw that in addition to keeping tabs on each other and caring for them, that Christians were also reaching out and caring for their pagan neighbors. And in light of that behavior, the world of Rome, the Roman Empire, said, you know, whatever they're drinking, I want a case of it. So there are more and more conversions to Christianity in those. Now that's also happening in a period of periodic persecution, because Christianity was not seen as compatible with Roman emperor worship and with the old Roman gods and worshiping those gods of the nation. So in a environment of persecution, Christians took care of Christians and Christians took care of their neighbors, and they at the same time with courage refused to abandon their Christian beliefs, and many of them were martyred. And the very fact of their martyrdom, the word martyr, by the way, is in Greek, it means witness. They give witness to their faith. Their lifestyle is their testimony. So that's how Christianity grew in the first couple of hundred years. Of course, in the early 300s, in the Common Era, the Emperor Constantine embraced Christianity, and what's good for the king is good for everybody else, so the persecutions ended, and it became more fashionable to be a Christian, and of course then there was a huge rise in the number of people converting to Christianity for all sorts of reasons. But in those first couple of hundred years, people had courage in expressing their Christian faith, and that courage itself was a testimony to their neighbors and their friends, and it gave rise to an increased number of conversions to Christianity. So that, in a way, is how the Christian message spread so rapidly throughout the Roman Empire and throughout the world. What can we learn from that? Why is it important to know that history? Well, what's important about it, I think, is that, A, we as Christians, and beyond that, we as people of faith, because I think this is true of Jews and Muslims as well, we need to take it outdoors again. We need to have no fear that acting consistently with our beliefs will do anything but good for the people around us. The great Abrahamic traditions are rooted in a sense of the other as good, of the image of God that's impressed on all creation. Remember in Genesis, that notion of human beings being made in the image and likeness of God, that's pre any division, right? That's right in the early chapters of Genesis. I think it's the first chapter. That humankind is made in the image and likeness of God, male and female, he created them. So despite any division that we might recognize today, and the world is asking us to be divided. You know, let's divide ourselves racially and sexually and by virtue of class, and let's distrust each other because they're not like us. And I think the Abrahamic traditions say, wait a second, that's not what we're all about. What we're about is realizing and recognizing the image of God in each other and learning from each other, and ennobling each other and helping each other. And when we help each other, we cut against the tendency to hate, to despise, to mistrust, because it's hard to hate somebody you're working side by side with. It's hard to hate somebody who shares with you a common belief in the wisdom that lies at the heart of things. And we may call that wisdom something different depending on our tradition. We can call that Adonai. We can call it God. We can call it the Spirit. We can call it Jesus. We can call it Allah. But whatever we call that divinity that is creative and powerful and enlivening, whatever we call it together as brothers and sisters made in its image. And I think that's why every one of us should look for ways every day to bless the people around us. And to bless the people around us while helping them to realize that we do that because we are believers, because we acknowledge the reality and the power and the presence of God that inspires us and that surrounds us and that enlivens us. There's a place I love to have breakfast, the new 304 Diner in Bardonia on, as you might guess, 304, Route 304. And one of the things I like, I mean, the food's great, but the people are great. And there's one person there in particular I just love to run into. He's an older man. He's in his late 60s, I'm guessing. He's very short and slight. His name is Billy. And Billy had a career as a jockey until he was thrown from a horse and really hurt. But he's a guy from Greece, and he talks like a machine gun, and he's very outspoken, but he's kind and he's loving. I walked in there after the pandemic stuff was coming to a close, and I was taking one of my first ventures out to a restaurant, and I walked in there, and Billy is there at the counter, and he said, "Oh, my friend, I'm so happy to see you. I was worried about you." And I thought to myself, boy, you can't buy that on the menu. That's something that comes from the heart of a good guy. Excuse me. So the other day I was in there for breakfast, and Billy was there, and he was talking. And he talks loud enough that if you wanted to hear him in the next town, you wouldn't need a radio. So he's talking about going home to Greece. And he's got a plan to go home. And it's a couple of months off, but he's getting ready and he's excited about it. And he's excited about it not because of the beautiful countryside. He's going home to family. And I thought to myself, what a wonderful, wonderful thing to reflect on. The importance it is to each one of us to have a family to go home to. And not everyone is as blessed as Billy with a big family in Greece where he knows he'll be able to go and be embraced and welcomed. But all of us need some place to go where we can feel blessed and at home. The poet Robert Frost wrote a poem, The Death of a Hired Hand. And in it, he talks about what home is. He says, home is that place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. And he goes on to say, that's something you somehow haven't to deserve. And I'd just like to sort of reflect on that, because really, when I read those lines from Frost, I hear the gospel message of God's gracious love for us that we somehow haven't to deserve. And isn't a faith community, wherever we find our faith community, that place where when we have to go there, and sometimes we have to go there, sometimes when we're brokenhearted, sometimes when we're crushed in spirit, sometimes when we're joyful and want somebody to share our joy with, we have to go and find others to celebrate with or to be consoled by or to mourn with. And when we have to go there, a good faith community is a place where we have to take folks in. And we have to take folks in not because there's a gun being held to our heads, not because God, you know, gets us with the lightning if we don't do that. We have to take people in because that's who we are. We have to take folks in because that's what a faith community is all about. It's about being that place that embraces others and makes them friends and family. Jesus, excuse me. Jesus gives an image of that in the Gospel of John. And it's an image that gives us an insight in some ways into the inner life of God and in some ways into how that inner life of God affects us. So he says in John 15, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. So right there, he's giving us the metaphor. The Father is the vine dresser. What does a vine dresser do? A vine dresser plants. A vine dresser cares. A vine dresser prunes sometimes. A vine dresser makes sure that the vine has something to grow on, because vines naturally grow and wrap around things. The Father is the vine dresser. The nature of God is to plant, to create, to give life. And that image of the Father giving life is something that I think each one of us, whatever our religious tradition might be, something each one of us needs to listen to. We do not get life except from God. All life is a gift from God. Every single child that is conceived is a gift from God. Every person walking in the supermarket or in the stores that we travel in, they're gifts from God. Every person who annoys us is a gift from God. The Father loves, creates, and cares for all of us with no exceptions. So if we have a list of exceptions, we got to get rid of it. If there are people we don't like, we have to begin to look like prospectors for gold. We have to look for the gold in them. We can't afford to be hateful. We can't afford to be exclusionist. We can't afford to separate each other into the good, the bad, and the ugly. We are all, every one of us, planted by the vine dresser.
And just a quick reminder for folks that the $25 gift card and autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book is still up for grabs to the first new caller. So please give us a call down here at the station. It's 845-429-1700 to ask Pastor Rich any questions.
Now, Jesus' metaphor is deeper than just the vine dresser. He says, I'm the vine. And Christians believe that the life of God flows through us, through Jesus to us. So the vine dresser plants the vine, and the vine he plants is nothing less than the life of Christ that is for us. So who is for us? The archetypal human. So life comes to all of us through Jesus. Now, you may be saying, well, what? I'm a Jew. What does that mean for me? Well, for you, it means that my theology is something that sees you as having life through the one I believe to be the Messiah. You're not cut off from life. I think we need to say this over and over and over again. No one's excluded. Not a single person is excluded. But in the Gospel of John 2, John says, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that comes to be and is made comes through the Word. So it's the creative Word that brings life to all that is. So if for us Christians, at least, life flows to us through Christ. And where's the Spirit in all of this? The Spirit is the environment. The Spirit is the air. The Spirit is the soil. The Spirit is everything that gives sustenance to the vine. So there you have a picture of the inner life of God, the Trinity. Father and Son and Spirit all collaborating to bring life to whom? The branches. That's us. What does it mean to be a branch? Well, to have life as a branch, you need to be connected to the source of your life. And so for us, when we are connected to God, we have life flowing through us. And when we have life flowing through us, we are conduits of life to others. So Jesus goes on with this metaphor, and he says, when you're attached to the vine, you bear fruit, and that fruit must last. This is all in John 15, by the way. So what does it mean to be attached to the vine? It means to be attached to the source of life, to be attached to God. So however we find that attachment, and for Christians in this metaphor, it is to be grafted into Christ. For those who aren't Christians, it's still to be grafted into God through the creative love of God's word that said, let there be light. And let there be day and night, and who at the end of it all saw that it was all good. So when we are connected to that reality, we are connected to God, and we can bear fruit. And our fruit is what? Our fruit is life flowing through us into the lives of those around us. And I think we have a call.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who is this?
This is Patty.
Hey, Patty, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I can't complain, thank God.
Good. I just want to thank you for having this show. I'm working, and I have you in the background. I'm listening, and I'm very stressed lately with a lot of different things going on, and I just find you very calming and inspirational, and I think it's a major benefit to having your show on the air.
Oh, Patty, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You're very kind.
And I've been listening, you know, since the first show, and it's just, I look forward to it every week now.
Well, keep listening. Keep calling. Do you have a question or anything that you'd like us to discuss?
No, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I appreciate you doing this and making a positive, you know, thing for our radio station. Well,
God bless you. Thank you so much.
And Patty, please stay on the line and just give Steve your information, because you are the winner of our gift card and Pastor Rich's book.
Oh, awesome. Oh, that's great.
Yes. So I'll send you I'll send you an autographed copy
bonus.
Of my book.
Look at that. An added bonus.
It's the only way I can get rid of those books. I have to give them away.
Well, I'm sure it's a well-done book, so I can't wait to read it.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
God bless you.
And have a great day. Thank you.
Too. Thank you for calling. You got a couple minutes here.
Yeah, okay. So back to bearing fruit. And that fruit that lasts, it's that when we have life flowing through us, the fruit that we bear is the fruit of a life well lived, because it's lived kindly and with compassion and with empathy and with a concern for others and with generosity. If there's one thing we can say of God, as we look at God, at the life of the Trinity, at the ministry of Jesus, is that there is absolute generosity. God gives without caring that we will be a thoughtless people with his gifts in our hands. He has dealt with Israel. He's dealt with Christianity. He's dealt with all of us and our sins. And he constantly says, come home to me. I love you. It's never too late to turn to me and live. But the other aspect of the message of the vine and the branches is that when we are disconnected from the vine, when we're not connected to God, we do not have life flowing in us. I've got flowers on the table at the church in West Nyack, the Clarkstown Reformed Church. We're opening on Mother's Day, May 9th. Be there or be square. I've got flowers, and they've been dead for about 2 weeks, but you can't tell because we video them. But at one time, these beautiful things, there are roses and all sorts of other beautiful flowers, they had life flowing in them. But when you cut them off from the rest of the plant, they may look alive for a while if you stick them in water, but they're dying. I mean, they're short timers. And when we are not connected to God, we do not have life. Everything that is not connected to God is dead or dying, and that's because God is the only source of life. And everything that isn't of God is just something that will ultimately kill us. You know, look at anything the world offers. You know, sell your soul for stuff. You know, for money, for power, for prestige, for notoriety or fame. And ultimately, all that stuff dies because our lives are like vapors. They go fast. And nothing that is not rooted and grafted into love survives. It is only our participation in the life of God that gives us life at all. And so how do we do that? At the very end of the vine and the branches, Jesus says, I have given you this metaphor so that you can have life in you. And here's how to do it. And then he goes into the beautiful commandment that I would like to, I think, end the show with, because we're running out of time. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Abide, the word means remain. It means stay there. Don't leave. He says, goes on to say, you will abide in my love if you keep my commandments, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. He says, all this I've told you so that my joy may be yours Joy. That's what we're looking. Not happiness, not fun. Joy. Joy is that deep down knowledge that it is okay. So that my joy may be yours, and that your joy may be complete. Okay, here's how to do it. Here is the recipe. It's a very simple one. He says, "This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you." How has he loved us? He's loved us completely. He's loved us selflessly. He's loved us with forgiveness and no strings attached until the very last drop of his blood had been shed for us. And he still loves us as the risen Lord, sitting at the side of the Father with the Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Faith Unscripted program, hosted by Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Catch us here every Tuesday right after the 10 a.m. news, only on WRCR AM 1700.